It's the Brew Ha Ha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
It's time for the Hop Monk Drive Brew Ha Ha. Mark Carpenter, of course.
How you doing?
I started at Anchor in San Francisco in 71. Now retired in Petaluma, riding horses and building stuff for his kids.
And I went into the city on Wednesday to see, I had some time to kill, went by the old employer and visiting with some friends there. And, it's a brewery and the distillery. But when the Sapporo bought the brewery, they did not buy the distillery. So the distilleries had to change its name. And it changed its name. So
it was Anchor Distillery?
It was Anchor Distilling.
Okay.
It's now AP Holding and Company. And they're making some great whiskeys. And this is a new one they're just coming out with that I was lucky enough to get some. And it's a blend of mainly by Bruce Joseph, the head distiller these days, but with his crew helping. And it's a fabulous blend of our 18th century whiskey, some Kentucky bourbon, and aged in some port barrels. Ooh. That was port that we made at the brewery using Fritz Maytag's grapes. So it's really quite a combination, and it's just a delicious whiskey. I mean, it's got fabulous aroma. I think you can get the port, and it's just smooth as hell.
That barrel. Smooth.
For a whiskey, this has an amazing nose.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
And Anson P. Hodling?
Yes.
Arrived in San Francisco during the gold rush. So he became a whiskey maker?
Or? He did. Well, he probably, who knows if he, I don't know for sure, he tried to find gold, but there were an awful lot of people who followed the miners, you know, and he created a great business. One of the best stories about his business was that during the 06 earthquake, the fireman ran fire hoses like a half mile to save his whiskey warehouse. After the earthquake, there was a lot of people who were saying that that God was punishing San Francisco with this earthquake. And so there was a poem that was published at the time. It said, "If, as they say, God was spanked the town for being over frisky, why did he burn the churches down and save Hodling's whiskey?"
Oh, wow.
So it's a great old name.
Now, who's J.H. Cutter?
J.H. Cutter was a brand that Hodling used to have.
And gotcha.
So the guys revived it. They liked it. It was kind of just a revision of their label, and they liked the name. And so when looking at it, I have to admit a little disappointment that it doesn't have a lot of association to the old distillery I know. But, boy, the whiskey is just fabulous. I recommend it to anybody. The brand is, as you say, is J.H. Cutter and made by Hodling's.
And they, since they didn't get bought by the people that bought Anchor, they got to move?
Correct. They're still in the brewery now, but they're searching a place and they have to move out because the Sapporo people want to take over the where they are and put in a bigger canning line, and they don't own both of them now. So anyway, it changes. Life goes on, but boy, this is a great whiskey. Wednesday, I was so surprised with it. I wanted to bring it on for sure.
Well, it's been years since I've been into whiskeys, but I still have a palate for a lot of it, and
yeah,
this one is extra special.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's great. And I've told you before why I don't drink whiskey. My elbow goes at a certain rate, but I can still taste it and appreciate it.
You know, I'm actually surprised that Sapporo, being a Japanese company, didn't go ahead and buy the distillery as well, because American whiskey is like huge in Japan, and now it's starting to be in China as well, but or vice versa, you know, and Japanese whiskey is really popular here.
Yes, and yeah. So I was surprised also, but they didn't, so.
Interesting. I just made a cocktail with the whiskey and this hopped cider from Horse and Plow that Scott Bice, one of our guests, brought today. And it's made with the hops from the Redwood Hill Farms. And David Bice is here as well. Some cheese. And tasting that with the whiskey and cider and this cocktail is yummy.
Hey, David and Scott Bice, welcome. Good to see you guys again.
Thanks, Steve. Great to
see you, Steve.
It's Redwood Hill Creamery. We've loved them for years. And so we're going to do kind of a beer and cheese pairing today, or cheese and whiskey pairing, whatever you want to.
Cider.
And then we have a bunch of weed we're going to roll and smoke. No.
It's not hops. Bright.
Those are hops. Oh, wet hops.
Hops. It's the start of hop harvesting season.
Oh, is
here
it really?
In Sonoma County, yeah. We just started it up, and
over the next few weeks, all of us local hop farmers will be bringing in these wet hops to the different breweries.
We've talked about this before. Yeah. As far as the hop farming, it used to be a big deal in Sonoma County, right?
Yeah, 100 years ago, Sonoma County was one of the biggest hop-producing regions in the country.
I'm surprised that we, as in Sonoma County, didn't jump on this sooner, foreseeing the craft beer situation and everything else. But it's
coming,
being reborn.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming on strong now, and a lot of the beer makers want them. There's more hop yards going in all the time, and just like the cider industry, that's really picking up. That we'll see at the Apple Fair, the wet hops are really coming on strong. Mm.
So you just picked these right off your vine?
These were just picked today. We just started picking our hop yard. We brought 50 pounds into Fog Belt to make an IPA that went into the kettle today. Fog Belt Brewery in Santa Rosa. And we'll be supplying at least two or three other breweries here over the next few weeks.
Well, as David, during the break, before we got back on, he said, smell the hops. And I did. And he mentioned that there's a hint of cannabis in these.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's the deal there?
It's Sonoma County terroir. They're related to hops.
Yeah, and explain that. Because
and Scott knows more. He has all the different varieties.
It is the closest relative to cannabis is Humulus lupulus, or commonly known as the hop.
Wow.
And if you open that up, Steve, don't roll it, but you can open it up, and you'll see the yellow lupulin in there. And that's where it has all the alpha and beta oils, and that's what the beer makers are after.
Yeah, see, and Mark Carpenter.
Mark's opening it correctly. I was just ripping it apart, but Mark knows what he's doing.
I'm used to breaking open dry hops. It's harder with wet hops.
Oh, okay, so what's the difference? These are wet hops because you just got them?
They're fresh.
They're just picked fresh off the vine. So throughout the year, generally, brew makers, they'll get dried and or pelletized hops, usually grown up in Yakima, Eastern Oregon, and Washington.
Okay, geek alert. Pelletized?
To make them last and basically condensed and easier for shipping and handling and also putting it into the brew kettle. They're pelletized, so they'll just kind of dissolve into the wort.
Although Anchor used whole hops only for the 40 years you were there, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So what is the advantage of the whole hop?
Well, I think we did it just because it was so traditional, mm-hmm. Fritz never wanted to move to pelletized hops, Sierra also is stayed with whole hops. In mm-hmm. fact, they're the mm-hmm. largest whole hop user in the world now that everybody else has gone away from it. But what they're doing here in Sonoma is so interesting because these hops don't last. They have to be used right away.
Really?
And so they have a great market with so many breweries so close to their hop fields. It's really an interesting situation that you guys can have this market available.
Yeah, and it gives the breweries an ability to make a very seasonal beer, And the hops, when they're wet, they're super fresh. They're going to give different aromatics and a different flavor to the normal beers that they make. So they're really sought after. They're very fresh. A lot of people love them.
Short window where you can make a fresh hopped beer. It has to be like that day, right? Going into the
pretty quickly.
You want them there within a few hours. We got out there at 7 a.m. Yeah. And we had them in the Fog Belt by noon, and they went directly in.
Wow.
Yeah, how long – what's the difference with using fresh hops versus dry hops, Mark,
I don't understand the question.
Like when they're doing the fresh hops and they have to do it that day, like – I've heard that it doesn't last as long. The beer itself, it doesn't last as long either, right?
No, I don't think there'd be any difference in how long the beer would last. Okay. I really don't. But the main thing is when they dry them, they can be then baled and stored. Mm-hmm. So they can be used throughout the year. And so that's the big difference. If you tried to bale these, they would either catch fire or get moldy.
But the cool thing is...
wait a minute. Are hops good for anything else other than making beer? I mean,
you can make tea. So a lot of people
on cider.
Yeah.
Cider.
Oh,
okay.
So a lot of people have been using teas for different ailments. It'll help you sleep. So if you don't want the alcohol, but you want the some of the effects of the lupulin, it'll help you sleep and different medicinal things. Also cider. So we brought in the Horse and Plow cider here. They steep the cider 6 to 8 weeks. with dried hops. They get our hops dried because we do dry some of ours, and they steep it in there for 6 to 8 weeks. This is a hops and honey, and then they bottle condition it with honey instead of, you know, sugar like a lot of cider makers will, but it's bottle conditioned with honey as well as those hops from Sonoma County.
All right. Now, I got to ask, okay, as far as Redwood Hill Creamery, David and Scott Beiser here. Yeah. Scott, is the hop growing part of Redwood Hill now, or do you have a separate thing?
It's part of the farm. So, okay. You know, the creamery is a big entity. We make and ship a lot of yogurt and kefir throughout the United States. And but the farm, it's still a small, diversified farm. So we're integrating a lot of the things. So we have a lot of goats, and with those goats, we get a lot of manure and bedding. Yeah. So we can use that in our orchards. We also grow apples, we grow olives,
right.
And we have a one-acre hop yard. So all that organic matter is being used and really good for the soil and really good for the trees, plants, and hops.
Yeah, and it speaks to Jennifer's values of sustainability.
How is Jennifer? We love her.
She is doing great, still lives on the farm, and somebody recently called her the ecopreneur. You know, she's been very resilient, not just in diversifying our farm operation out there, but 100% solar powered.
Right.
We have about 100,000 gallons of storage capacity for catchment. We've got a whole system that collects rainwater off the roofs of our barns out there and does a really good job storing water. Hops do take some water. We have a dry farmed apple orchard, but also the olive grove. Jennifer's been able to change with the times. Redwood Hill Farm and Creamery still has these amazing cheddars. In fact, the smoked goat cheddar you really like, Steve. Great.
This one?
That's the aged cheddar, and then to your right is the smoked cheddar.
Okay, this aged cheddar is one of the greatest cheeses I've ever eaten.
Oh, man, isn't that nice for a goat cheese? You know, a lot of people even that tell me they don't like goat cheese will gravitate toward that.
Man.
It's first goat cheese for tailgate parties. You know?
It is a great cheese. The you know, you're talking about other use for hops. There was a hop grower in Yakima who tried to use hops in a New York cheddar. Because he lived in New York. His home was in New York. And so you may want to try that with your goat cheese.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we've been grooving with goats since 1968.
It's your 50th anniversary.
It's
that's 50th right.
anniversary. Congratulations to Steve on your 10th. And then we're going to be at the Gravenstein Apple Fair serving these very cheeses, the Redwood Hill Smoked and the Redwood Hill Aged Cheddars.
And talk about that apples. A little more about the Gravenstein Apple Fair, what you guys are
oh, gosh.
Doing. Are there going to be hop sniffing?
There could be, yeah. We'll have some hops there at our artisan tasting lounge on Saturday. We'll have our cheeses out there for tasting and a little booth, and we will have some fresh hops there for sniffing.
And we're pushing for goat berry bingo, if not this year, next year.
Yeah.
Goat berry
bingo.
We heard something about
I'm going there
bingo.
For chicken poop bingo, but yeah, there you go. I like that.
We're going to give some tickets away to the fair also. Wow. It's 2 days this year, Saturday and Sunday. This
45th annual, folks.
I know. It's not cool.
Regal Ranch Park, Sebastopol. We grew up with it. As kids growing up there, you know, we're part of that community too.
It's such
after 50 years.
It's one of my favorite events every summer here in the county. I mean, it's truly amazing.
Yeah, it still has a down home feel to it.
And now they got chicken poop bingo, so you know, you can't go wrong.
A goat milking contest, and we'd be all set.
There you go. David and Scott Bice from Redwood Hill Creamery and the whole farm there are our guests today. Mark Carpenter. Of course, formerly of Anchor, who are now retired in Petaluma. Anna Herland is here.
Hello.
Okay, so
cheeses.
What the cheese to the right? And talk about beer because we've been promoting beer and cheese pairing.
So the aged cheddar has almost 2 years on it. This is one of the flagship cheeses of Redwood Hill, and we've got a lot of it still aging. Just a great goat cheddar. It's almost 2 years, so it's starting to get that really nice. And then tried the smoked goat cheddar. Also almost 2 years age on it. And the good thing about that, we're talking about hops and beer, and there's so many really hoppy beers these days. That smoked goat cheddar will stand up
to
a real hoppy IPA.
I can see that. And I'm not big on smoked cheeses.
Yeah.
But give me an IPA with this.
A lot of people say that because either, you know, if it's a smoked cheese, it's polarizing. Either like it, or you don't. And some people just don't like smoked cheeses, or they've had that bad experience with that overly smoked Gouda from the grocery store that's just some generic, weird kind of flavors.
So, yeah, don't buy that.
So, yeah, this is, of course, available locally, and we'll have it at the Apple Fair this Saturday. We'll be serving it up all day next
time. How do you smoke it?
It's a smoke pro
with a lighter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We just
roll it up.
Vape.
Smoke it if you got them.
Yeah, well, we could just set it out in the air. It's been so horribly smoky
these days.
But no, it's similar to a meat smoking process, but it's a cold smoke process. Mm-hmm. So if you see, I'll grab this piece right here, and you can see it's made in long blocks. And then it's cut. So this is like the edge, and slightly got more of a brown or caramel color on the edge. And then some of that smoke permeates all the way through that hickory. We use a hickory.
Hey, David, can you hand the cheese board to Mike? He's grabbing crack. Oh, you got some?
Yeah.
He's good.
I took care of him. As usual. Hey, I want to ask about the goat cheese and digestibility. Because so when my daughter was little, and people used to make fun of me for it, I gave her goat milk because it was easier to digest. Mm-hmm. And so is that true? And also with the cheeses then, too? Is like less lactose in it? Or?
Good question.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, there is lactose in goat cheese, but almost anybody that's lactose sensitive or lactose intolerant can handle it. And it has to do with the composition of goat milk. Yes, there's lactose, but the composition of goat milk is such it's very similar to human milk, to mother's milk. And though the ease of digestion over cow milk or any other milk is the biggest health benefit. You can digest it right away with cow milk. Even if you're not lactose intolerant, it takes a lot longer. The reason being the fat globules in goat milk are so much smaller, easier digested, and also naturally homogenized. You don't have to homogenize goat milk. And otherwise, that cream layer that rises to the top with cow milk,
it doesn't
do that with goat milk. So you don't have to take that extra step of processing either.
Interesting.
So it's just – and that's why goat milk is popular the world over. It's just that, cow is king, and throughout the U.K. and Europe and America, it's probably an economy of scale kind of thing more than anything else. But around the world, goat milk, I think some stat I saw was 70 or 75% of the people around the world do goat milk products.
Hmm.
So elsewhere. So that's one of the big health benefits. And then if you have a great product, make the value out of the cheese. Sister Jennifer has been one of those really famous, one of the pioneers of making goat cheese in the U.S.
And yeah.
So,
she really has, man.
Yeah. She had the American Cheese Society inducted her into their sort of a Hall of Fame. It's their Academy of Cheese as one of the pioneers of goat cheese in the U.S. And we still have the herd, the farm out in Sebastopol. Scott's managing it. And I'm at the creamery quite a bit. And we make it all happen in a good way. Sonoma County Institution.
Herlinda, talk about this beer and how it works with these cheeses.
It's a cider.
That's okay.
We brew ha-ha.
I haven't tasted it yet. I just looked at it and I thought it could be a beer.
He likes that cider with hops, so it's kind of a cider beer.
Yeah, and you like wine a lot, so I think that you'll like this cider.
This is a great cider. Where is it from?
It's actually from Horse and Plow, which is actually a winery
because
the same licensing is for cider and wine. It's actually a different license for beer. And a lot of people don't realize that it's actually taxed higher also. Cider and wine are taxed higher than beer as well. I don't know specifically why, but I will find out. I just got my first level of certified cider professional on Tuesday.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
That's my exam.
What does that mean? That means you can drink as much cider as you want.
That's it.
With a few letters behind my name. Actually, I've been judging a little bit for cider, and now this just gives me a little bit more cred. And also, it helped me with all the studying I had to do on it, some classes as well. How it's made as well. So, they press the apples, which is a lot like making wine as well, which is different. There's no heat involved like with beer. And so when they put the hops in, they're actually putting them in like they would do with dry hopping with a cider. It's interesting. So it's really – but it's not heated, so it's very lightly hopped, the cider is. Now, this is really, really nice.
All right. I've been saying all day we're doing a beer and cheese pairing, but it's really cider and cheese.
And whiskey.
And Mark brought some amazing whiskey, J.H. Cutter. But the company is A.P.
Hodling.
Hodling and Company.
That's right.
Formerly with Anchor in San Francisco. Now they got it.
Now they're going on their own.
They got to find a place to live.
The oldest cocktail in America is actually a cider cocktail as well with a distilling. And it was either rum or whiskey. It's from the Revolution from the 1700s. It's called a stone fence. And they would do, and I'm sure, who knows what their rum was like back then. Although I'd love to try some rum from like the 1700s, wouldn't you? Oh, my God.
Mike, yeah. You got a bottle.
I think the quality of the spirits back then is the reason they did cocktails.
Yeah, you know,
cocktails were quite popular in colonial
times. Let's mix some stuff here.
That's it.
This ain't happening.
That's it.
They didn't even have thermometers then to tell time, the temperature.
Okay, so you guys are going to be at the Gravenstein Apple Fair. It is this Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days. And you're going to have all sorts of your great cheeses from Redwood Hill.
Yes, we will be there on Saturday only. That's 10 to 6 p.m.
Some tickets away.
And then, we want to give some tickets away. Gravenstein Apple Fair tickets.
All right, how many? What do we got?
We've got a pair of tickets. So I'll let you put the parameters.
636-1350. It's 554 on the drive on KSRO. So we don't have a lot of time. First caller in at 636-1350 gets a pair of tickets. This cider that, Herlinda, that you're talking about. Pardon me?
Oh, I'm just telling them, they just give the email for the tickets. Yeah, they'll be at will call. Yeah.
This is our 11th year on the show. He knows, he knows what he's doing.
What was he, like 10 then?
Yes, he was. And I was 15.
You guys had a good party yesterday. I'm bummed we missed that. Actually, we kind of have a party right now.
We finished our anniversary show with all sorts of great people, and then we went to Ricardo's.
Of course.
Full of regret and remorse. But we needed to celebrate, and we did. David and Scott Bice from Redwood Hill Creamery and the whole farm where they do all sorts of stuff, including these.
Our tour is coming up in October.
Oh, you need to come back.
Great.
Before that.
Right on. Yeah.
Okay. When in October?
First weekend in October we started up. So if you want to come pet some baby goats and see the hops, come up.
All right. We'll talk more about that when we get closer. All right, we're wrapping up this week's Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Mark Carpenter, of course, from Anchor, now retired in Petaluma. Herlinda is back with us, as always.
Cheers.
And we've been kind of talking about beer and cheese with Red Will. Red Will. Red Hill Creamery. David and Scott Bice are here, and they're going to be at the Gravenstein Apple Fair this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days. These cheeses are amazing.
Glad you like them, Steve. Thanks.
Well, come on. You've been coming on for years and years, and every time I do, I go, this is some of the greatest cheese I've ever had.
Well, thanks for having us on. I gave you the swag bag again. Congratulations. Yeah. 10 full years, working on 11 now.
Yeah.
And
day one of 11 years.
Wow. Just like that. And it's all like you fresh like a baby today, right? It's all new again.
And congrats to Redwood Hill for 50 years.
Thanks
as
for that.
Well.
Yeah, 50 years,
grew
man.
With goats since 1968, so it's a thing.
The whole family? Was this? Did you guys purchase this?
No. Mom and Dad started it. You know, they're sort of back to the landers, and then we just kept running with it. And Jennifer's been the entrepreneur behind making it all work ever since. And certified, humane, raised, and handled. We want to give you this as part of your swag bag. Maybe you'll be the first first certified humane radio program in the U.S.
I want Steve to come and milk a goat with you guys. Oh, and by the way, folks, we gave away the tickets already. Because I hear the phone going.
Yeah.
Can we bring a goat to the studio?
I was just going to say, Scott, you got to bring a goat.
We'll bring a goat.
Bring a goat in the studio.
A baby one.
And we'll milk. Can we milk them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
We had a camel in here 3 months ago that crapped all over the and peed all over the lobby there.
And who won the bingo game?
We brought a goat into Crooked Goat Brewery, and it did well. It didn't poop anywhere, so I think
okay. We don't care.
She's a national champion, though. She
bring
knows better.
The goat
it's
in.
A lot smaller than camel poop.
David and Scott Bice, thank you so much from Red Will.
Good whiskey.
Redwood Hill.
Apparently that whiskey is a little stronger
Very good.
Than I thought. Yeah.
That's why it survived the earthquake.
Good night, everybody.